Vans in a vertical red rectangle, in white text next to it, off the wall. The letter F in black, bordered thickly in white. Underneath, Fusion. Against a gray card, the letter O moves up to overlap a triangle. A stylized sun rises behind them. An AOP production. Vans Off the Wall presents, in association with Fusion, an AOP production. Words appear. Los Angeles, Saturday, 10 p.m. Tall buildings are silhouetted against the dark sky. A few people are gathered in front of a tall iron fence. A backyard is packed with people, many in all black. In slow motion, the silhouette of a man pumping his arms and jumping in the center of a crowd. A helicopter flies overhead, the beam of a spotlight shining down over the gathering. A few teens raise their arms to the sky, holding out their middle fingers. Words appear. For nearly 40 years, punk rock has been a constant in Southern California's underground scene. Every weekend in Los Angeles, punk shows erupt out of backyards and secret venues where promoters, bands, and fans gather to support this do-it-yourself community.
Live from South Central. It's the highlight of the night. This is dope. This is a badass.
A montage of people dancing wildly in backyards.
The backyards, there's no rules. It's just raw. Excitement, chaos, anything goes.
People are pushed down and interact with band members.
The great thing about the backyard scene is that it's really where punk is really thriving.
Stills of a guitarist rolling naked on the floor.
It's something that makes us feel like we're a part of something.
Quick photos of a man cocking a pistol. Police enter a store where a concert is taking place.
Fights break out, but there's also all that camaraderie.
Names of places in L.A. flash on a black and white map. Boyle Heights, South Central, Watts, Compton, Little Tokyo Arts District, Pico Aliso, East Los Angeles.
That's where the scene is, and that's where I want to be. I don't feel at home anywhere else.
A goth girl headbangs.
If it wasn't for the backyard scene and going to gigs, I'd probably just stay home and be lame.
Without the punk rock scene, I never would have discovered there's a reason to keep living, that other people felt the same as me, that I wasn't alone.
A montage of couples embracing and smiling at concerts.
Punk rock, thank you. You saved my life.
Stills of artists and promoters changes to bold letters on stripes over the black and white map. Los Punks, we are all we have. East Los Angeles, a dark sedan drives away from the curb. Two people sit inside.
I'm for sure gonna make a left. It's like 6 minutes from here, so it's still East LA. After Esperanza, that's Boyle Heights. And First Street, keep on going.
When I book shows in the backyard, I hit up people around the area. I ask them, hey, do you know any houses you have? I go meet to the person in the house. If I don't know that person, talk to them, explain to them what's going on, what's gonna happen, what genre it is. They think it's gonna be like baller parties or something like that. I'm like, no, sir, it's gonna be the rockeros, like punk rockers.
Nacho, 25, promoter, singer, corrupted youth.
Watch, no, it's gonna be in the back. Watch it trip out.
Okay, cool.
And all these places right here, they don't mind the noise?
No.
What's up, brother?
How's it going?
Good.
Dude, perfect. We put the band right here, man.
Yeah.
Boom.
Everybody over there, and then no groupies, nothing back here. I'm gonna have all this shit. Cause I'm gonna have myself back here.
So. All right, cool, man. It's on Friday. We gotta get this going on. Thank you for everything. See you Friday.
I spent in one day spamming and promoting about 1 to 3 hours a day. Thanks to all my friends, they let me borrow their pages. They let me borrow their codes or Facebook. They have trust in me. In Facebook, I have access to 33 pages right now. I already sent to this event 20,000 people invites. So my next step now is just spam the flyer.
A montage of promo flyers.
I started promoting shows. I tried my first show when I was 15 years and a half. Back then, the days in East LA, Boyle Heights, there was not that many punk gigs. There were metal gigs, but no punk gigs. There was a lot of dance parties. I was like, where's the punk scene? You know, I'm a punk. I love music. I love noise. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna start doing gigs.
A poster with a skull with a mohawk lists a variety of punk bands.
It went horrible. Back then, there was no MySpace. It was no Facebook, nothing like that. It was one-on-one, walking, going to shows, flyering everybody. I passed out, I think, like 1,000 to 2,000 flyers. Two people showed up because there was another show the same day. I couldn't believe it, but it happened.
Now, Nacho helped set up band equipment.
I wanted to see the scene happen, and I tried and I tried, and then eventually people start coming.
The repeats. People dance while the band performs.
I don't think I would like to promote shows and venues and all that because I love the backyard. I love the raw scene. Could do anything you want. Basically, there's no rules.
A couple kisses in the backyard.
I already got kicked out of so many venues, so I seen how they are.
A large bearded man with dreadlocks performs. Skeptical Youth, the band's singer, John Taller.
I prefer the backyard just because you get more of a crowd there. Venues, you're only going to get a crowd if you get someone big. If you throw a venue show with a bunch of locals and try to charge them like $7 to get in, no one's going to go. They'd rather go see you play for $2 in South Central.
Gary 22, singer, Rhythmic Asylum.
Los Angeles, it's a really massive city. There's like so many different places within places. And that's not even mentioning like the genre punk, the subcategories, the super subcategories. Street punk, anarcho punk, crust punk, power violence, thrash metal, death metal, black metal, black and thrash metal, death thrash metal, ska punk, ska core, crack rock steady. Do people play proto punk anymore? I don't know, that's a thing. It's just a multiplex of different genres out there. LA is the place to be.
Crusty Drunks perform.
Everybody has a story, whether it's dad not being around or never met the mom or, you know, brother in prison.
A fight breaks out and a man kicks another supported by two people.
Because of the fact that there's so much poverty, there's so much going on. You've got all these, like, 15-year-old kids, you don't know where the hell their parents are, and, you know, they're running around the streets with 40 ounces, going to backyard gigs.
Stephanie, 24, singer-guitarist, otherized. Now a spike-haired man performs, withdrawal symptoms.
Well, where would I be without the backyard scene?
I have relatives that are gang members. Where I grew up was not, like, there was a lot of gang activity, a lot of gang members, a lot of, you know, I think that's one of my biggest fears, that I could have been that. And as you know, and I think about that kid who got shot in front of my house, like, that could have been me had I gone through the wrong steps.
Billy Famine, singer, withdrawal symptoms. People mosh as Billy and his band perform. Cars drive down a quiet street with a corner market in the early evening. South Central. In a back alley, withdrawal symptoms members carry amps and equipment past a row of people sitting on couches.
I'll describe a backyard show like, you know, it's pretty loud, it's a little wild, pretty much like a party.
Danny 19, based psych ward.
I feel comfortable more than I am anywhere else. There's no somebody just getting stared at because you have spiky hair or like pointy boots or spiky jackets, you know, like everybody is just welcome here.
At a gig, a man opens out a collection of patches with different band logos. Elsewhere, people wait at a gate to get into the concert.
You don't have to be a punk to go to a show. Anyone is welcome, which is pretty cool. So any type of person you can see at a show, there's cholos, punks, gothic girls, club kids. And in the scene, who cares if you're gay? Nobody.
Cat 24, singer, Las Cochinas. Now, a long-haired guitarist in Sons of Eli headbangs as he performs. A man in a white t-shirt talks to the crowd.
Next motherfucker piss on my house, I got some fireworks to make motherfuckers disappear. I'm not getting paid for none of this shit. And you playing, you play pussy, and watch motherfuckers get fucked. I don't care about y'all party. Don't piss on my motherfucking house.
Yeah, I don't have a penis to piss on you.
He stands in front of the girl.
I make motherfuckers disappear. I ain't nobody's smell.
A young man holds a plastic bag filled with liquid and drinks from the bottom. A boy stares wide-eyed at the people around him, while in the crowd, a couple makes out. Two young boys standing on a nearby roof grin and stare at the concert crowd. The couple keeps kissing. A young man in chef's whites and a black cap sings into a mic. Psych ward. A group of people start moving to form a mosh pit in front of him. Alex, 23, singer, psych ward.
I absolutely adored the idea that punk rock was about perseverance rather than giving up. Or just lamenting in the pain. Every day I struggle with depression and anger. I struggle with trying to remind myself of reasons to live.
Alex's cap reads, "Fuck everything." He is surrounded by his band and a crowd.
For at least 10 years of my life, not a day went by that I didn't wake up and say, "Fuck, I'm still alive." I have wanted to end my life more times than I can count. I've attempted to end my life several times, and I've always been inebriated. One time, I drank a quarter gallon of car coolant in a driveway and miraculously survived without any real medical attention, just a bill. Because my ex's mom saw me, she's like, "What are you drinking?" I was like, "Beer." And she's like, "No, that, what the fuck is that?" And called an ambulance. And I threw up red and green all night. It was horrible. I attempted to overdose on cocaine, woke up in a pool of my own blood. Attempted to overdose on speed, woke up in a pool of my own blood. Tried to hang myself and the rafter broke. The rafter broke! What kind of shit is that? This is supposed to be a support building approved by the city and it broke. Termites.
On four.
Psych ward practices in a garage.
Crystal meth! Crack gas! In my breath!
Alex gestures angrily as he sings.
The band is really the only thing that's keeping me going. When I didn't have a job, I didn't have a home, I didn't have anything, the band was the reason to keep living.
Two photos show the psych ward band members. Alex stands in the middle of his band, grabbing his face, then his chest.
And it's the only thing I've stuck with for so long. It's the only real, consistent part of my life. The rest of the band, they are like family to me. They've been there through thick, thin. They've seen me through all my embarrassing stages.
Pages of handwritten lyrics say, "Can't wait to die, want to die, dead, I don't give a fuck, random song."
In fact, a lot of our songs were poems I wrote while institutionalized, and our drummer Carlos, being that he has a background in music, he converted a lot of that to songs. We didn't think we were really going to go anywhere with it. It just kind of happened. That's the greatest part about it.
Lyrics to Therapy read, "When you tell my parents you cured me, all you really done is killed me, leaving behind a gaping canyon with me at the bottom, with hate my companion." Nice. Alex smiles at Carlos and gives him a thumbs up. The men fist bump. Watts. A montage of scenes from a neighborhood. A man sweeps leaves from under a tree. A barbed wire fence. Children play on a sidewalk. Now, a black kitten munches on treats spread out on a carpet while a teenage girl squats close by. She scratches the cat affectionately.
My name is April and I'm from Watts. I'm 15. I'm probably like the only one that's young in the scene. I don't really do anything in my life.
April 15, promoter.
Well, my favorite thing is just going to backyard shows.
Because the first band, they dropped. But I got another band. But they need a drum set, and a guitar amp.
In her room, April brings a mirror close to her bed, sits down, and carefully applies black lip liner.
My mom doesn't really care, you know. I can't say she's cold-hearted, but she's like me. She's like, "Well, I don't care. It's not my problem." Because she grew up in a bad childhood, you know, they would treat her bad. And once they treat you bad, like, you become someone like, "Well, I don't give a shit, you know, that's them, it's not my problem." She does what she has to do, and I do what I gotta do.
April, dressed in a t-shirt, shorts, black fishnet hose, and black jacket, sprints across the street at a crosswalk.
I just stick to my area, like South Central, or either Compton, East Los.
She focuses on her phone as she walks.
Nothing really scares me. I can take care of myself.
Here you go, I'm gonna show you what to do.
She briefly looks up at the hecklers across the street.
Imperial by my house, like right there in the corner. The lady
crossed in a red and she got run over by the bus and they squished her head.
She sits at a bus stop.
Yeah, she died.
April gives a nonchalant shrug.
I was just shocked, you know, I couldn't do anything about her. She was already dead. And I already seen people calling the cops, so I just left back home. I was like, oh my God. Just seeing her eyes pop out. Oh my God. So now I'm like throwing shows like every other 2 weeks or three.
The sky darker now, a bus stops in front of her. Long-haired musicians carrying gear approach.
What? I'm gonna knock on the door first.
Oh, what's up? How are you?
The group enters the back of a store.
I like having April on my team. Rather than not having her on my team. I think she's a good organizer. You know?
April handles entry at the door.
As you may know, this is like South Central. And I know a lot of talented people, a lot of them. And unfortunately, there's not enough resource or guidance for everybody to be like, all right, focus all that energy and all that art potential into something productive.
Louis, proprietor, SCLA Apparel. Outside, Louis and the band look up at the helicopter. April stands next to the band, Destroyer.
The last show I threw, it was like 300 people there. It was squished, but, you know, everyone was having fun.
April takes money from concert goers.
All right. How much is this?
A bunch of shitload of non-payments.
For you? Well, how much I can make throwing a show is basically like 700. I split it with the other guy that helps me out. Whatever I get, I give it to my mom, you know. And I help her out with my rent. One total of all my rent and my phone bill is like $450.
She counts money.
I don't really pay the bands. Most of the bands, they do it for the music, you know, not for the money.
We want to see everyone closer! I guess you guys are a bunch of broken pussies, huh?
A man stands under a handwritten sign for $2 beer. The band, Exterminate. April, standing in the crowd, moves swiftly forward into a forming mosh pit.
Being in a pit is like just yourself, you know, take out your anger, just push people. Like if your mom gets you mad, you can't do anything about it. You're not gonna hit her, you know, just wait for like the weekend, you know, just take it out there in the pit and just have fun.
She circles along with other moshers, shoving aside those who get in her way and headbanging. She stands in an empty space close to the band and violently whips her hair back and forth. Recorded footage of a backyard punk concert. The timestamp reads June 31st, 1989. The gathered audience is crowded together with moshers. The band, Strength in Numbers, performs.
As far as, like, you know, the backyard wave, go all the way back to, you know, 78, 79, you know, probably even earlier. I mean, it's depends on what genre of punk rock you're talking about. You know, like I said, nobody could get shows on the west side, so we started having shows on the east side. The Hollywood kids, they call us the taco bands. Taco punks, beaner rock.
John Alvarado, veteran East LA punk. Now he poses with three band members of Fishhead.
I don't think anyone was trying for success. It just happened. If it happened, it did. I don't even remember the names of these bands, you know. They're just all the local bands, you know, whoever was around at the time.
James Leary, Blackjacks.
It started when I started going, you know, 1976, but they weren't punk rock parties. They were just like stoner parties, and one band might show up that's playing something weird, you know, and everyone's like, what the heck is that, you know?
Sounds South Central Riot Squad 2006.
In this part of South Central, like Watts area, like close to Compton, there wasn't really like a punk rock scene, punk rockers.
Paul and Ephraim, South Central Riot Squad.
I started writing music, and our first song that I wrote was SC Drunks because of my passion for LA and the South Central scene.
Foul gay drunk fucks, LA drunk fucks.
In the song SC Drunks, I shouted out all the cities that nobody knows around here, like Compton, Southgate. You know, you hear of LA, but you don't know about the little cities, like what you would consider the ghetto. So I shouted them out there, and I even told myself, I'm like, I hope we get big one day and people hear about these cities and people hear this song.
The majority of the hardcore that you're gonna find really good bands with a lot of kids that have heart are the kids that are poor. And they come from all, you know, the dirty, shitty, scummy, prostitute-filled gangster haven, bullet-flying, filthy place that people go by on the as they're driving on the freeway. And if you go look at a lot of these backyard bands, a lot of them are really good. They're putting out really good music. But if you look at the gear that they're playing with, they've got, you know, a music stand kind of jerry-rigged with a screw in it holding up a cracked cymbal. You know, a lot of the backyard bands don't get the recognition that they probably could because they don't have the exposure.
A drummer starts off a song at a gig in a warehouse, Rhythmic Asylum. The shirtless singer jumps around while the audience watches. One guy starts to jump around as the band plays.
My kind of entryway to punk was kind of consciously oriented. It's like, oh, it's a system for change and we can improve our society and build a community. I think it's an artistic representation of the inner turmoil that we feel inside as working class communities, as people coming from lower income backgrounds.
Gary 22, singer, Rhythmic Asylum. As Gary sings with broad gestures, more people join the small mosh pit.
There are a lot of punks in the backyard scene who get messed up and end up passed out in the corner, drowning in their own vomit. And I don't think that's necessarily their fault. I think a lot of people are like, oh, well, you should make better decisions. But it's really hard to make better decisions when you're living in a decrepit environment. Look at South Central and East LA. Like, there's super underfunded education systems. It's like there's not enough money for textbooks. There's not enough money for teachers who are passionate about their job to focus in on one student. I came up with this concept with my friend Martian. It's called La Tristeza, the sadness of living in the hood. Because it's just like everywhere you look, it's like drive-bys, it's like gang activity, there's prostitution, there's not a lot of options for people here in the hood. It's like, what else are you gonna do but escape?
Oh. Seen through an open front door, a middle-aged man and woman dance together.
My mom is from El Salvador, my dad's from Guatemala. So they came here during the 1980s as refugees from, my mom, a civil war in El Salvador, my dad from a military dictatorship. They're super Catholic, super disciplined, still together. So from them, like by example, I learned about like dedication and just like being really consistent with everything. And I translated that, I guess that lesson into my band, into I guess like artwork and also into my academics.
Yeah, this is my mom. She's a vocal performer. She's the reason I like singing, but I don't sing the way she sings. She's the reason I know the difference between alto, tenor, and soprano, and harmonization, and singing things on key.
Yeah, we have different, how do you say, genres?
Yeah.
We are immigrants in this country, and we are very blessed of being here.
We are immigrants that working hard for to be better. For that reason, we try to teach our sons to keep going to school, no matter what. Maybe I'm not rich, you know, but I'm so lucky to have the best family, you know.
I grew up with my mom, my dad, my grandma, and my brother in a single-bedroom apartment my whole life. So that means that there was a lot of times where it was kind of cramped up. I didn't have enough space to study. My mom was like, stop typing so hard. I'm trying to go to sleep because I have work tomorrow. Or like kids would be playing outside making a ruckus. I'd have to like kind of block all these things out and super focus. Try living on top of other people at the same time that you're trying to like catch a breath to live and study to make it better for yourself.
Y no me esperaron.
No, porque está esto muy muerto.
A woman sets out a tray of food.
I was a minor in history and a major in political science, so I hate the world.
Another man sets out a roasted turkey.
En nombre del Padre,
nombre del Padre,
del Hijo,
del Espíritu Santo, amén. Gracias, Padre Santo, porque nos has permitido estar un año más reunidos.
The family gathers around a row of tables covered in food, heads bent in prayer.
Que siempre nos recibe con mucho amor.
I don't get to eat like this every day, so I might as well. It's a blessing. Yeah. Something else.
Recorded footage of Gary performing.
That mohawk is pretty cool. And then I got a job, so I had to shave it off.
I know, I always receive your invitation on Facebook.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Too. I know that.
That's actually not me. It's like this guy Nacho from Corrupted Youth. Like, I've given him the okay to log into my Facebook and like send out invitations. And well, right now I'm this band, Rhythmic Asylum, and like it's kind of my band between now and before I start law school. I did this for Crusty Drunks. They're like a pogo street punk band from South Central. You know? It's not too complicated. It's kind of cool.
I could put that in a T-shirt.
Yeah, you totally should. So I did for Psych Ward. Like, it's one of my favorite pieces because it's like super graphic right there. Mm, makes me cringe a little bit, you know. Like, I actually looked at pictures like Passion of the Christ and they kind of copied it, you know. So,
right.
Yeah, and this that's is this Rhythmic really Asylum. It's a way different Corrupted Youth.
And so that's it, like a...
It's pencil.
You draw it?
Straight up pencil.
It?
Yeah.
You draw it yourself?
Yeah, pretty much. No, it's like, that one took me like 4 days to do it, you know? When I was 16, 17, they're like, where are you going? Why does your hair look like that? Why are you dressed like that? Now they see that I'm in a band and I'm taking photos and I'm doing like all these promotionals for different bands. They're like, oh, well, I guess he's kind of involved with this community. He's a creator of the culture.
Gary sits on a couch with his family. He holds a microphone.
Guatanamera!
Gary wears a button-down shirt and khaki pants. Now, Gary performs shirtless with tight jeans covered in patches. Now, he hands out band stickers to the eagerly waiting audience who crowd around the stage. Recipients pour over the artwork. Nighttime in L.A. Cars drive down the relatively quiet, lamp-lit streets of East Los Angeles. By a small liquor store, Nacho and a woman walk towards a gated yard with a garage.
We're in East LA in a backyard gig right now. This is in the beginning right now, so in a few hours it's gonna start. And we're just waiting for the sound system to get over here, and it's gonna start at 7. First band goes up at 8, and we take it from there. Damn, ya la movieron toda. This is more than enough room that I need.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Like, you can have people over here.
No, trust me. Like, if we could keep this clean all the time, it's gonna be way better for us, so people won't be in the front and won't get burned out. Like, from here and up, it's perfect.
All right, we'll do that then.
Cool.
He helped set up a canvas canopy tent.
Yeah, dude, who gives a fuck?
Okay. Oh, I didn't see that.
Tonight, we are expecting about 200 to 250 people. I don't think the show's going to get rated tonight. There's the football classic. It's Garfield High School and Roosevelt High School, so all the cops are going to be busy. If Garfield wins, you're going to have that side of East LA going crazy. It's worse than the Mexico soccer game.
Natalie, 27, Nacho's sister.
Boyle Heights and East Los Angeles is just, it's two different cities. A lot of people confuse them as the same because they're so close together and everything, it's known as like Boyle Heights or East Los, and they just say East Los, and most people, when they say East Los Angeles, they actually think it's part Boyle Heights as part of East Los Angeles, but it's not. It's two different cities.
Where are we set up?
We set up right here. I'm gonna move all this shit right now.
A small group walks up to the gate.
I'm not a punk rocker.
And at first, I'm gonna admit, I used to hate it. And then, I don't know, it just, the shows created a very, very deep bond between Nacho and I.
Natalie stamps guests' hands as they enter.
We weren't always close like this. Definitely, the shows had a big part in us getting close.
We used to pay our rent by throwing shows.
Kat, singer.
I didn't have a job. My job was like promote the show, and Natalie and Nacho would put it together. They do a great job at it. It's always packed, always a lot of people.
We had like 5 people that know Nacho and want to get in for free already. So
We need like a no nacho here sign or something.
Nah, cause sometimes people come in and I really don't know who they are and shit.
Right.
Yeah, and like they're like, oh, it's my girlfriend. Like in my head, I'm like, okay, dude, like I don't wanna be rude if you're actually friends from the house, but sometimes we just sneak in or try rushing it in.
Ray, 26, pleasure wound.
I'm a freelance bum, and I live for a living. Without the backyard scene, I'd be grumpy and upset. I'd always be working and probably have a girlfriend or something.
How's everybody going out there? How's everybody? How's those beers?
I'm used to playing like wasted, so playing sober, kind of new experience. So I'm just enjoying myself this time, actually playing and enjoying myself.
He takes a swig of beer. Now Ray strips off his clothes.
That's it, it's on. It's on.
He walks up to the mic, naked except for white tape wrapped around his genitals.
We are here to drink your beer and take your boyfriends.
Ray, his guitar strap over his shoulder, undoes his ponytail and releases his long hair. Many in the crowd take photos of the nude singer with their phones.
Crazy ass motherfucker, dog. Straight up. The first time I ever saw him do that shit, I was like, what the hell, dude? But it is what it is. He pulls it off. He does his thing. And all respects for him. Fuck it.
Ray performs with abandon, waving his hair, lifting his leg, and contorting his body as he plays guitar.
All right, so like, fuck this Atkins diet. You want this body. It's called Body by Depression. Let's do it.
April mingles with people at the show. A man with white and black hair talks with friends. Nacho paces as he sings. A man gets in his face and Nacho gives him a friendly pat and a push. The band Corrupted Youth. The crowd starts moshing to the music.
To start in a band when I was like around 16 and a half. And one of my friends, Pulga, let me borrow his iPod for a week. He told me, listen to this for the whole week, tell me what you think. Exploited, Spiky Drunk, Casualties, Unseen, and Global Threat, everything. Things that happen in my personal life that I could relate with them, or they sing about like the struggles of life. But Corrupt the Year message is, you know, you're not alone out there. Because we all have like a lot of things in common. Because we're all Hispanic, and it's true, like a lot of things that happen to us is the same things that happen to their families, their other friends' families, to the other cousins' families. We all relate somehow in the end. One thing is I'm a person that keeps everything inside a lot, and that's the way I show right there with the music, doing the shows.
Nacho Corrupted is a guy I've known for a long time. And yeah, he started giving me my first big breaks like in the backyard scenes in East Los Angeles. For me, it was really like a godsend to have him as a friend.
A man carefully drags two stacked amps over the uneven backyard. Most of the crowd still lingers, some passed out next to cans and bottles of beer. Outside, Nacho walks towards a police cruiser waiting nearby.
Let me see what's up with these motherfucking cops. Okay. How you doing, sir?
Yes, sir.
It's actually already done. Shut down. It's done. Yes, sir. Sorry for the a little bit late delay. We kind of get a little bit delayed. Sorry about that. Apologies. Yes, sir. We do that right now. Oh, my God. Yeah, don't worry, sir. Actually, it's done already. Those are some badass shotguns you have going on right there. All right, thank you, sir. Have a great night. Hey, we'll throw another show right here where you guys come back.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah? What you guys think I should do better to fucking bring more people inside?
More alcohol.
More alcohol.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
What's up, bro? Nacho. I'm trying to make another show right here, the 15, man.
I'm down to come.
Yeah.
I'm down to, like, pulling on either outside, though. Like, that doesn't bother me.
My mom is on. Dude, if your boys don't come back, kick it with us. We'll do something at the end of the night.
Nacho talks with a fan with a giant tattoo on his chest. Now he sits with his sister and others.
We're talking about the whole fight with the one person because he mobbed on the other person's wall.
Yeah, I don't know what you guys are talking about, yo.
I got a story about you. I got arrested and I went to jail because
told
of your
you.
Ass.
Told you about it.
I went to jail because of this motherfucker. I swing at the cop. I swing at the LA sheriff cop.
I literally hit him.
Yeah, but I ended up fighting with the cop, so because I knew that he had tickets and I didn't, so I ended up like attacking the cop kind of, so I would get blamed for it and he would get off and go home. For
and yeah, and the cop
and
actually hit
my
you.
I swear we ended up like in jail, like.
Remember I told you for the.
It was raining that night.
That was the first time I ever said, "Damn, I'm gonna get my ass beat firme tonight."
No, I got my ass. I had bruises all. Yeah, fuck yeah, I had bruises all over. They fucked me up. Cops beat me up like to the max.
Natalie's my sister. I love her with my heart. She's always been there for me from day one to right now. I was born in East Los Angeles, but the second week of being born, my father took me to Culiacán, Sinaloa, and I was raised there 10 years.
Pictures of Nacho and Natalie as kids.
When my parents finally got divorced, my father decided that we were gonna come back to the United States. He got full custody of both of us.
I didn't know no English whatsoever. I hated that. It was hard. It was like, oh, these people talking English, I don't understand nothing.
When it came to like social skills, it was super hard. Even in a Hispanic community, because remember, these kids are already like second, third generation. They're what we call Chicanos. They're not Mexicans. And you have like two full-blown Mexicans here with like, buenos dias, you know, like it's not easy.
A picture of baby Nacho and his mom.
I knew my mother, but there's not much to remember.
She was 23 years younger than my father. She was very, very, very passionate, very hot-headed. She was not scared of any guy or any scenario. She was something else. Like, she had balls. Like, I think if we got balls, we probably got it from there.
I was with her when I was a little kid, but what, until, like, I was, like, what, seven, six? I'm not gonna remember from there the rest. I just remember how she looks, that's it, and I remember how she looks now from a picture.
I don't know exactly what made her leave. I don't think she was ready for the whole load, or maybe she just got married too young, or she felt like something else, and she kind of made the wrong choices. I know it wasn't because my father wasn't good or anything, because my dad's an amazing man.
She was in Mexico, and I was in Los Angeles. She couldn't cross the border over here. She couldn't come over here at all whatsoever. My mom passed away in a car accident.
My mom's passing might have made Nacho more cautious in terms of who he opens up to. He was super close to her, like in his childhood. It was just like this bond that he had with her. And I think that's why he felt it more. Yeah, you could tell it hurt a lot. I mean, he locked himself up and he was just, yeah.
Another picture of Nacho's mother holding him as a toddler on her lap. Now, seen from below, a helicopter spotlight shines down. A couple of men carry a drum kit past the front gate.
There's a lot of different reasons people throw shows. Cancer, sick grandma, funeral, and there's a lot of that going on, especially like in the neighborhoods. It's like people don't have that type of money to pay for these things, and the shows kind of raise some money for kids to have for their families, which is pretty cool.
Just as on a serious note, real quick, don't mean to be like sad and everything, but we're gonna dedicate this friend set to our friend Allison, who just passed away last year. She always supported us. Okay, now we can get over the fact that we're all girls and we can circle pit like the dudes do.
Las Cochinas perform.
This is 40 Ounce. It's about abusive men. So if you hit your girlfriend, come up here and act like a little bitch that you are. Oh! I take the balls with the silence, with my 40 Ounce.
A man pushes another guy in a wheelchair in the mosh pit. A man falls while moshing and is helped up by those around him. In the crowd, another man inhales the contents of a balloon and passes it on. Long Beach. Alex skateboards down the middle of an empty road. A black and white rat climbs up his chest to perch on his shoulder.
Alex has always been very strong-minded. Even though something was different, he did it anyway. He was always a kind kid. If someone was being bullied, he had no fear, and he would help the kid that was being bullied. It was a wonderful trait.
All the good stuff is from her.
Alex's parents.
You know, her support. Because I didn't have the patience.
I love you so much. I love you too.
I've missed you because your phone was out.
She hugs him.
You know?
I'm sorry.
And you don't answer my texts or my emails.
Okay, here's the thing. When I'm on Wi-Fi, my phone will not send texts. So sometimes I try to send a text, and it won't send. So I have to be more attentive and... I do smoke a lot of weed. I have a million good memories of feeling loved with my mom. Hey, it was good to see you, Dad.
They bump fists.
With my dad, not quite so much.
A montage of Alex's pictures.
Growing up, I wasn't starving. I wasn't beaten. But things were hard in their own way.
A vacation picture of Alex's family in a raft.
A doctor that they had taken me to discovered that I had ADHD. So I was force-fed these pills as a child, and they helped me focus in school. But I began getting very angry. I began fighting at school. A couple of times, me and my dad almost came to blows. Like, we'd be standing there in each other's faces, yelling at each other. And one day, we got into a really bad fight, and he came at me. And I had a knife in my pocket, and I took it out. And I took it out, and I said, if you take one more step, I'm gonna slit your throat. And my mom saw it and started freaking out. This was like an 8-inch blade in the hands of a middle schooler. So the police were naturally called, and they told me that essentially, even if my parents didn't press charges, I would either have the opportunity to go to a psychiatric ward or to juvenile hall. I chose psychiatric ward. We had four units, we called them cottages, and the guys in cottage one were really into punk. I never knew what punk was. What do you listen to? What is that crap? And finally, they gave me a Discharge CD, the Y album. And I was like, holy shit, this is epic.
Footage from a punk stage show.
Well, Alex once had an 8-inch mohawk that was blue. And he'd wear these...
The black one was 8 inches.
What?
The black one was 8 inches. The blue one was 18.
It was 18 inches?
I couldn't stand it. Oh. To this day, I don't even want to think about it, because it, you know...
His father's lips tighten.
That ticked me off. I don't, you know, want to go in my own home. I work my ass off for it and have to see somebody with a mohawk. I don't want to look at a mohawk. I remember it's Thanksgiving, and I said to you, either he's out or get that thing cut off. I'm a fan of Ronald Reagan, and he's a fan of Black Flag, so there you go.
Alex and his father share a look, and the young man looks away. Manhattan Beach. The sun glints off the ocean near Alex's parents' upscale suburban house.
At my house, I have no food, so when I come over here, I cook as much as I can to take as much as I can home.
He preps chopped potatoes for boiling.
I like cooking, love working in the kitchen. It started with my mom. She always said that I was too weird to find a wife who will cook for me, so I need to learn how to cook for myself. I love fresh rosemary. The smell. On her side of the family, I come from a long line of Asian chefs, all with their own different specialties, all with their own different techniques. Tonight I'm making a rack of lamb roasted with mashed potatoes and sauteed green beans. I'm actually really focused on doing a good job because I rarely get to cook for my family, so it's important that every single time I do, that I make something that they really like. Then they might actually invite me to cook for them instead of me saying, hey, let me cook for you guys tonight. My mom's father was a chef in China before the Japanese occupation. When he moved over here, he continued chefing and he also worked as a bartender. That's something I've always admired about him, especially because he was doing that from when he was 14. I've always wanted to cook Asian foods, specifically, you know, because of him. But he's never really shown me anything. I've just gotten history lessons from him more than anything. Currently, I'm technically unemployed, but I'm working a stage at a restaurant in Manhattan Beach. A stage is essentially an internship. The sous chef right now is a guy that's only a few years older than me. A lot of chefs are extremely young. It's a really great field to get into, and you can advance really quickly.
He cooks in the kitchen with his mom.
I'm not at the point where I'm ready to become a sous chef or be in that way accomplished, but I'm accomplished in the way that I already have a rudimentary understanding of fine dining, and I'm on my way.
How many potatoes did you make?
Like 10. Hold on a second. Might need something more. Who knows?
He tastes his food as his mother watches.
That's a lot better. I mean, I impressed my dad with my cooking. You can't impress him with anything. I could go win a Nobel Prize and be like, well, how much is it paying? So, you know, that to me is a huge milestone in my career.
In East Los Angeles, two men sit outside a tattoo parlor. A neon open sign flashes on the glass door. Nacho and other musicians fill up a narrow hallway inside.
Hi, it's good to see you guys.
Good to see you too.
Hi, Nacho.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Hi, Anthony. When I first went to my first show, I didn't know who the bands are. I met new people. It was awesome. Like, they invited me, like, hey, Jan, let's go to the show. Like, okay. And that was the show that when I first saw Corrupted Youth, with Dos Santos, most of every bands. I mean, I don't have a top favorite, but I love all the bands. I do. I haven't seen you.
You know me? Shit.
I haven't seen your shows. Like, oh my God. I was thinking, like, wait, which God, man? Which God? I haven't seen that motherfucker.
Jenny, 20.
What do you do for a living?
I go to school. That's it. I can't work.
Why?
I'm on this SSI. And
oh, you got it made for the rest of your life. Good
job. I know, but to be honest.
How'd you do it? You told them you didn't know the president or what?
I live with my family, but I'm getting kicked out.
How'd you get Social Security, though?
I do want to get a job, but
how'd you get Social Security, though? How'd you get it?
To be honest, I had that since I was born.
Why?
It's because I've been in and out of the hospital. I'm born disabled, and you know, it's kind of
disabled?
Yeah. I'm born with no right arm.
No way.
I'm not kidding.
You are not kidding. You couldn't tell though. You're drinking.
Gary! Oh, Gary!
It's good
seeing you.
No,
oh my God, it's good to see you. I want to hug you again.
She grabs Gary back in a hug.
You fucking cut your hair.
I lost my hair, but I got a job. Cool.
Hey, win-win.
It works, yeah.
You lose your hair, but you gain a job. It's awesome.
It's like, I feel like a paycheck's a little bit more important than this, you know?
Of course.
A little bit.
Well, usually I stay at the door and I charge people. I'm the mean guy. I'm the bad guy.
She writes on people's hands with a marker in lieu of a stamp, keeping a watchful eye on those coming in.
I've had comments at the door like, you guys are all about the money. That's all you guys care about. At first, I would try to explain to them, but I finally realized that no matter what you tell people, they're never going to be satisfied because they're not getting their way.
$3.
Sometimes we actually end up coming home in debt and we had to pay out of pocket. It's happened to us a few times. It happens to everyone.
Jen walks through the shop and out back.
We have a TJ band, Lucky Seven, Hammock band, Skate Drink and Fuck or something like that. And local bands from here, Skeptical Youth, Defected Jones, Crusty Drums from South Central. And my band personally is performing too.
You know someone threw a bottle at my camera operator?
Yeah. Where he at?
A band with a fiddler starts up, Lucky Seven. Fireworks go off, bathing the cheering crowd in bright light. Residual smoke settles thickly over the street on the other side of the yard's wall.
It's a firecracker. That's what you call a pissed off neighbor.
A basketball pole in the yard is forced down by the frenzied crowd. Hands pass the rig over their heads till it reaches the farther wall. A man clambers up on the roof of the structure next door and pulls the hoop up after him. He struggles to lift it over his head and tosses it into the street. Back in the yard, the mosh pit rages on. Then Nacho gets on the mic.
Everybody, you guys threw a basketball court over the side, right? So because of that shit, the owner's mad. So I guess we're going to shut down this fucking gig right now, man. Yeah, hey, fuck all you guys. You guys messed it up. Not me, dude.
That's what I'm trying to talk to her.
Can you get
to her?
No.
Turn that shit off.
You've been dealing with them because this is my place up here. And that's my yard. All right? So then that be quiet. I don't even want to hear. And so nobody went and told me shit.
Cops drive up.
They don't own it. They
so
rent it.
They rent it as you do too.
So what? But I'm the boss. That's my yard.
So they don't rent it.
No, they don't. I don't give a fuck what anybody says with their fucking sad story. Fuck them. It's my yard. Get the fuck out. You're trespassing. That did it. I live upstairs. This is my residence. They don't live here.
She's just...
Natalie shakes her head.
Bitching. As you can see, like, to get whatever she can out of it.
Harry comes out with a sad story. He don't have shit to the owner told me. Don't let him come out here.
All right, thank you, sir. Have a great night.
Getting a call, the two policemen hurry back to their vehicle and drive off.
Wait, why did they leave?
Because they have a shooting. Something more important than us. Oh, and shows I've seen fights, people throwing bottles at each other, stabbings, people somehow magically out of the blues popping out a bat off of their pants or something. I don't even know how they pop them off. They're so tight. I got stabbed 3 times already. Couldn't even walk for like 4 days or 5 days. Missed work a lot. A lot of things, shootings, drive-bys, like crazy stuff.
The burly Nacho faces off an inebriated crowd in front of the tattoo shop.
All you niggas just back the fuck up.
A fight breaks out between two drunk women. Some of the men around them try to pull them apart to no avail.
Jump in.
The bigger of the two women punches the other in the face. The punched woman lunges at her attacker. They pull each other's hair and exchange blows. The bigger girl holds the smaller by the hair and knees her in the face, and the fight is finally broken up. The smaller girl walks away with her group. Meanwhile, more cops are now on the street.
No, it's cool, dude, but they just got controlled a little better. I mean, can't have alcohol in a, you know, in a tattoo shop, basically. It's not, there's no permits for that. They're just kids, you know? Everybody goes through different stages of life.
At an outdoor ice rink, April, her hair dyed a reddish pink, skates up to the side railing.
Well, the first time I met April, I always thought she was like 18, 19. I'm not gonna lie. And when she told me, I'm only 15, I was like, holy fuck. What am I doing kicking it with you? This is not right. 10 years younger than me and shit.
An older woman joins her on the ice.
My generation is like horrible. That's why I hang out with like older people. You know, I experience from them and then I know what to do and what not to do.
City girl.
She and April spin together on the ice.
How graceful, watch you eat.
They skate away together, hand in hand.
I have your back, no matter what. Whatever it comes to, somebody messing with you, somebody punking you, you needing somewhere to stay in the future, I got you.
At a backyard gig, the same woman takes a swig from a beer bottle while April stands beside her looking at her phone.
One of my favorite things about Sil is that she doesn't care, like, especially if she's drunk, she beat up anybody. She tells me, like, she messes with you, I'll beat her up. I'm like, no, it's okay. You know, she's a really good person.
In slow motion, April and Sil move around a mosh pit, their arms around each other. A man shoves at them, and the two women lose their footing and fall. April helps Sil get up, and the older woman immediately kicks the man who caused their fall. She then joins April to continue their moshing. April's house, a small, nondescript, single-story home.
I'm going to wear these for school tomorrow.
Yeah?
Yes.
You like them?
Yeah. I'm going to keep them clean.
Sil, Moko, and Alice end up moving in here because we both needed help, so we just helped each other out. And now we roll together.
Phil's daughter, Alice, jumps on April, who lies on the bed.
We're like family now. We live together. Phil's like my mom, so she makes food for us. If I can't afford rent, I talk to Sylvia. Sylvia helps me. Since I can't get a job since I'm young. But after summer, like, I'll probably get a job and then help her out.
Drink some water first. I know I sound like mom and stuff a lot of the times to you, but I'm like, just don't get pregnant. There's something called a condom. Shh. I don't hear it. I don't see her having a kid. I see her getting locked up for beating the crap out of someone. That's what I see. I'm not gonna lie.
I don't want kids. I have Alice already. You're really, really little. So, you don't have to worry about anything.
I know.
Then why are you crying? You have everything you want, everything that you need. All you gotta do is stay in school. And once you finish, don't you want to go to high school like me? You don't want to be a big girl going to high school, dressing all nice?
No, but it tastes like twin.
Are you Chinese?
Mm-hmm.
April spoon feeds the little girl.
For me, the family means the ones that are there for you when you need it. You know, the ones that help you out with anything. It doesn't have to be by blood, but it has to be by heart.
April, Alice, and Sil play wrestle on the floor.
I'd rather just hang out with friends, treat them as family, you know?
Moko, Sil's boyfriend, smiles as he watches them play. At a gig at the SCLA apparel store, police gather outside.
Earlier today, we were at SCLA apparel in Watts.
The cops came down saying they supposedly got a call for somebody getting stabbed or something like that.
Do you know why we're here?
Apparently somebody got stabbed and they're like dying or something.
Who are you?
I'm the owner of this business.
Okay, you have ID?
Sure.
Okay. Can I see it? This is what's gonna happen. Okay, we're gonna go in there. We are looking for a suspect. All right, we're also looking for any victims that may be stabbed. That is why we're going in there. You understand that?
No, I don't.
Okay, you don't have to agree with it, but that's what we're gonna do.
A number of police men and women enter the store and head to the backyard. They start spreading out in the crowd.
Go over there, man. Step back. Over there. All right.
Move out the way. Clear the center. Move to the wall. Let the officers through.
They look around at the space and the people assembled. Outside, a man with a green mohawk stands with one of the cops.
The guy with the mohawk, yeah. Ray, they said that he fit the description, that they said some guy with the green mohawk stabbed some other guy. So that's why they brought him out here and they searched him.
Nobody got stabbed. Nobody got stabbed at all. I was right there the whole time.
Here's the thing, is that when the description comes out, green mohawk, teal and little green mohawk, obviously you can see he's in handcuffs, right? It is in that kind of a situation.
Yeah. So take care of us, RV Corps, 12/29/2014 at 0830 a.m. Okay?
Hate is gonna hate.
Everybody out! That way!
Okay, let's go!
The police clear out the crowd.
Everybody's going this way.
I'm going over there.
Right, let's go.
Shirt. We wanted to buy a shirt.
Hey, come back next week. When there's resistance like that, we have to shut down the party, okay? It didn't have to go this way tonight, but it's the way it ended because of people's attitudes and egos.
Show halted. The cops drive away.
Yeah, 83rd and San Pedro, 3316 South 83rd and San Pedro.
Autocast in 83rd and San Pedro right now. It's free for everybody.
83rd and San Pedro.
Whoever paid already, paid. Whoever hasn't paid, you in for free.
83rd and San Pedro.
Put that shit on Facebook, local space, MySpace.
Nacho carries a large amp on his shoulders and quickly walks past streets and through alleys to the next gig location. A smattering of people are already there. His band begins a set. A mosh pit immediately forms. April is part of the throng in the pit. A boy with a bloodied mouth rubs his face, flashes a bull's horns hand sign, and returns to the pit. Daytime. At a restaurant called Belly Bomb's Kitchen, Alex wears a look of concentration as he preps food in the kitchen.
Since I guess I have an almost romantic relationship with food, it only seemed natural to keep pushing.
He stands talking with his dad.
Then when I got my first bout of community service for the beers in Daniel's backpack, it was actually your friend that pulled us over. But I forget his name, but he remembered you. He wrote me a ticket and I had 24 hours of community service and they assigned me to one of the kitchens in Redondo Beach at the Salvation Army. And that was the first time I ever had experience working in like an actual commercial kitchen.
Back at the restaurant kitchen, Alex focuses on a grill of small burgers.
It felt more right to be behind a stove and to be holding a knife rather than to, like the way my dad has his passion with his wrench and his vehicles, I have ingredients and a knife.
He sets out a plate of sliders.
I mean, he's really good at what he does. He's really good. That pizza you made, it was better than mom making the pizzas, but he's doing better. You know, he's trying to do his cooking. He's putting a real effort into that, which I didn't see that before.
I absolutely love this job here. The staff are the coolest staff I could ask to be working with.
I think he has a lot of heart.
passion, and only a certain kind of person can really succeed in the kitchen. And I think this guy has.
Eric, Alex's supervisor.
Fries, sliders, wings, pooter. Order up.
He double checks the ticket before serving up the food. On a street corner, women set up large vats of homemade food on tables on the streets of East L.A. Elsewhere, a man sells kitchen appliances out of a truck, South Central.
Test, test, 1, 2. Ooh. Is that really how I sound? I sound awful. No wonder everyone hates me. I have ADHD and my voice sounds like shit. I need to smoke more. My voice is sounding girly.
This deal at Glen is a DIY secret venue. There needs to be secret venues for a couple of reasons. There aren't a lot of venues to play in South Central East LA, but with DIY secret venues, it's the security that you are going to play at a certain time. There's soundproofing, so it's kind of like controlled chaos, but it's a safe space for backyard bands to play.
What's up, homie? We're discussing a...
Don't you have, like, new material? Like,
we're working on it. We're working on it. We don't have anything that we haven't played yet, like, ready for the public, but we've got new shit in the works. Dude, Moises and Danny and Carlos are fucking geniuses. Like, I really can't take credit for the next song that comes out. It's mainly them. Like, they're doing an amazing job on it.
Before we start, first up, I want to give a shout-out to the homies, Blake, and Diego, who are in prison upstate right now. Let's free the homies, man. They didn't do shit. We're Psych Ward. Thanks for having us out tonight. Everyone move 1 foot forward.
During the performance, Alex holds his mic out for an audience member to sing.
I never thought people would ever even care what the lyrics were, let alone memorize them and sing along with us. It's an exhilarating and uplifting feeling to have somebody remember the words you wrote and get up on stage with you with no fear of anything, take the mic and sing your lyrics back to you. It's like a high.
Three women fall as they take part in the mosh pit. Alex shares his mic with the band's guitarist.
It's not as much about, you know, landing a huge record deal or making as much money as it is about pushing music out there and helping people realize, you know, there's a music for you. There's a constructive way to be angry but still let it out in a productive way rather than do things like what I did and a lot of other people did where we got self-destructive, we got outwardly destructive.
Anyone got any beer I can have? A little bit of beer? Somebody, anyone in beer? Liquor, something?
It's a great feeling when those people actually show up and appreciate. We've had a mosh pit going of over 100 people, and I'm standing this close to it. And they're all going to our music. It's incredible.
That's great.
I've never experienced happiness like that.
I just hope at some point some of these people get jobs, and if you have an album, they can buy it. I'm glad that you found something that works for you. I mean, a lot of people find it, a lot of people don't. You know, that's great.
Alex smiles broadly at his father's comments. South Central. April sits on a brick structure on the sidewalk.
So I recently moved out of Watts to South Central because my mom, she's a good person, but we just couldn't, like, have a good relationship. Feels weird without my mom, but it's the best for both of us.
As long as I have somewhere to live at, it's just, right, it's good, you know?
It was weird moving out of my house because I had my friends living there, Sylvia Moko and her daughter Alice. They were like my family. I felt bad for Alice because, you know, she has feelings, she's a little girl, she doesn't understand. But I told her just be good in school and that's what she's doing. But I'm really not thinking about the future right now. It's just whatever happened, happens. And if it happens, if it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad.
April sits and watches cars pass. The sun shines brightly over the city. A young boy rides a bicycle down a curving street. Now, Nacho's band practices in a small shed-like structure. Words appear. Corrupted youth has been invited to open for their heroes, the Casualties. With Ray, 24, Corrupted Youth, Age of Fear.
Okay, so basically we're rehearsing for the Casualty show this Saturday. We're pretty fucking excited. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I'm pretty excited right now just thinking about it. And besides the fact that we're all burnt out right now, Like, honestly, I can say that we're all excited. We can express our feelings, right? I mean, look at that's a look of excitement.
Nacho grins.
That should be the epitome of excitement right there.
So, Nacho Corrupted, how do you feel about this Saturday?
I don't know, already chaos. How do you feel about Saturday?
That's a good one. As a matter of fact, I kind of feel pretty excited. I feel really excited, actually. I'm being seriously sarcastic right now, but it's cool. Eugene, how do you feel about today, about Saturday?
Saturday? This Saturday?
Yeah, man.
It's going to be childhood dreams coming true.
Speak to me.
It's like, oh, it's a childhood dream.
It is, man. It's fucking awesome.
Casualties, like, you know, it's people and gods right there. That's it right there.
Concert footage of the Casualties performing in front of a large crowd.
The Casualties, especially the early years, it reflected a lot on our upbringing. It's like they say, we come from broken homes, and honestly, a lot of us pretty much did, you know? And the only family we fucking knew were pretty much punks and shit, you know what I mean?
In front of the...
Nacho, dressed in a studded black leather vest, carefully loads a bass drum into the back of a car.
So you're gonna have... You might take out the bar?
Yeah!
I'm gonna get them to sign it.
The small convoy of vehicles carrying gear and musicians sets off for the venue. Musician booking agent Ron Martinez.
I put Corrupted Youth on a Casualty show that was really put together last minute.
All right, Nacho. Hey, Graham. Appreciate all your hard work.
Hey, man. Thanks for having us here.
Yeah, no worries.
The promoter of the show wasn't doing shit for the show. And I put Nacho's band on the show and I said, look, I need your help.
Yeah, las 10, pues, we need to go up at 9:15. Pero ya lo dieron a las 10.
Supposed to open at 9, no?
See, now it's at 9, dude. They pushed everything back.
I don't think that show would have been half as successful had Nacho not been involved in it. Nacho just, like, made that show go off.
A montage of clips of Nacho before the gig, interacting with the incoming audience and support staff at the show.
Touches me in the heart, the Latino punk rock scene. Because that's where I grew up, that's where I came from, and I see myself as part of that because we come from very low-income families.
Jorge Herrera, The Casualties.
So excited to see you, man.
Jorge walks in past excited fans lined up for the show, his long hair styled in porcupine-like spikes. He meets Nacho, who shakes his hand warmly. He then takes pictures with fans bedecked in denim, leather, and punk hairstyles, who all flip the middle finger for the camera.
I want to tour with my band. I want to play everywhere we could, any place we could, coast to coast, everywhere.
Corrupted Youth perform.
I see my brother in the future being a role model for the punk scene, for the kids. I see him maybe going places, traveling, setting an example, helping people, giving back.
The Casualties take the stage. Jorge pours alcohol from a bottle on the audience.
I grew up on the streets. I grew up in the projects. My father was a dishwasher. My mom worked in a factory sewing. Punk rockers for Latinos that come from the way I came, which is a lot of them, is all we have.
The packed crowd goes crazy. A man pulls himself up by a light rigging to hang over the crowd, while another jumps into the audience. Nacho stands in the wings during the Casualties' performance, joining Jorge on the mic, along with members of the audience.
I was trying to sing the songs that I fucking love, and it's just hard, man. Everybody loves their music so much. It's like, dude, I was cool with it. You know, it's awesome. Playing with them is more than enough. Fuck yeah. I was speechless, dude. I was like...
Now, in South Central, four men push a camper van out of a driveway. Nacho hefts a large speaker out of a car, and two other men carry more gear into the now vacant space. The crowd slowly starts trickling in past the ever-watchful Natalie. Later, Gary, April, and Alex hang out together, sharing a beer.
Have some brew. I don't know. Brian has the game.
I feel that I could be in this punk lifestyle for the rest of my life. Just need to continue enjoying and doing, like, as long as I'm having fun and everything's good.
Groups of people walk down a street after a show, and to the side, a man gets cuffed by a cop.
There's people that leave the scene for whatever reason, you know, but a part of them, I feel, stays there.
An aerial view of people gathered at a backyard show.
I think the scene will go on forever. As long as we have people that are passionate and they really love the scene and they're putting into it, the scene will definitely go on forever.
An aerial view of concert goers jumping and pushing each other in a mosh pit.
Punk music is showing them, you know, you're not alone in this. It's saying it will always be there. Like, there'll always be someone who understands. You don't have to think that, you know, you're struggling alone in this. From someone who is starving with five kids in the projects, up to someone, you know, who comes from the suburbs and feels completely misunderstood and ostracized, we're family.
Cut to black. Now, a series of stills of musicians and fans at various backyard punk shows. Directed by Angela Boatwright. Written by Christine Triano. Executive producer, Doug Palladini. Executive producers Eric Duat, Isaac Lee, Juan Rendon.
I love the way I'm living my life now. If things change, like they seem to every time I tell myself they won't, then they will change. And I will deal with it as it comes.
Producer Aggie Orsi, co-producer Ceci Rangel, co-producer Christine Triano.
Well, I will change eventually as I grow up. Learning extreme stuff will change me, but I think I'll be just the same person, doing shows, having fun, going to school.
Cinematography, Josh Salzman, Fortunato Procopio.
I'm an aspiring attorney, just taking a break for 3 years and just writing music for Rhythmic Asylum, getting it out of my system before I become a professionally minded being, boring and thinking about my career.
Editor, Tyler Hubby. Unit production manager, Aggie Orsi. Composer, Brian Lee Brown. Associate producer, Sean Huntley.
Right now, I'm a full-time student. I'm doing my prereqs for RN. That's my aim. To finish it up and go to nurse practitioner.
This is Adrian, my boyfriend.
Jen smiles shyly.
She's really beautiful.
Jen and Adrian hold hands as they sit on a swing set. Now, stills of Nacho performing.
Yes, ladies, I'm single and I'm not looking. I'm just kidding. I got this shit in Chinatown for like $10. Isn't that fucking cute?
In his living room, Alex lights up a small bong. R.I.P. Junior Troops Jimenez, January 14, 1993 to August 19, 2015. R.I.P. Jose Ignacio Rodriguera Ochoa, January 20, 1944 to November 13, 2015. Copyright 2016, Vans, Inc., all rights reserved. Printed on a white film roll, The Film Sales Company.